How many of you recognize this? You recognize this? Who sang that? That was Billy Joel. Yeah. Exactly, yes. And look, I'm going to preach the Bible, whether you like it or not. Billy Joel made a statement here. We have a problem in the world. This is how Billy Joel put it in a song a while back. And, honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue and so forth. Paul said it in the book of to the church at Galatia one time. He said, do you hate me because I tell you the truth? Jesus later said, it's not because of lies that you strike me, but because I've told you the truth. And so I want to talk this morning about a problem that is, it's really not a new problem in the world, but it certainly seems like we're in a wave of it becoming much, much stronger these days. And that problem is simply the stifling of honesty, the shutting down of people who just simply are giving their honest opinions about things. Our world is becoming a place where that is not okay anymore, where that is shunned. We have some head from our headlines today, and I'll be honest with you, I care too much about my IQ to watch the news. I would urge you to be careful about that. I care too much about my intelligence to allow myself to be led by a news media that doesn't know how to tell the truth. So I would urge you not to be too much on that. But just from the headlines, just a couple of things. We have this I read about this Joe Rogan thing. And again, I don't follow these closely. I don't know the details, but apparently he has a podcast that's very popular, and people are. There are some famous artists that have, because of some stands he took on COVID, or brought some guests on. And so, are you familiar with what I'm talking about? Yeah. You follow this? So there are big name artists that are saying, we're going to withdraw our music from Spotify because he is on there as a podcast. And my answer is like, who cares? Why do I care? Why is this? I try to skim the headlines so that I know what's going on in the world. But I feel like I'm too intelligent to go ahead and read the articles. I'm just not going to do that. But I see that, and it's like, who cares? But anyway, they're trying to control Spotify because they disagree with something that someone said. He was somebody gave an honest opinion, and so that is trying to be shut down. They're trying to get him off of there. Whoopi Goldberg. Now again, I'm not a Whoopi Goldberg fan. I don't really know much about her. Don't really care much about her. Don't know what's going on. But I know that she made a statement that got her suspended. Her statement had something to do with the Holocaust not being caused by race, but rather man's inhumanity to man. And the fact of the matter is, folks, and I'm not going to get into the substance of it, but that's actually true, because racism is a subset of man's inhumanity to mankind. But nevertheless, the point is, she was immediately suspended for something that she just simply gave her opinion on, a show that is predicated upon a bunch of people sitting around giving their opinions about things they don't know about. So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, what is that all about? Of course, there's this constant big tech bullies. We're constantly bombarded now with Facebook tells you what you can say, and Twitter and Instagram and all those things. And there's always some giant tech, and if you don't say what we agree with, then we're not going to allow you to use the platform anymore, and so forth. So I think we have to, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Again, I don't want to get into the issues themselves, because honestly, they don't matter. But here's the problem. If you cancel people, or if you stifle or silence people for giving their honest opinions, then how do you know what somebody believes so you can make a decision about whether or not you want to listen to them or follow them? How do we know? Look, I want to know who the bigots are. Yes? So let them say whatever they want to say. I want to know who the people, I want to know what people believe, so that I know I can then judge, do I want to listen to this person? Do I want to hang around with this person? Do you know that you can actually, if you don't like something that somebody on TV is saying, you can change the channel or turn it off? I mean, it's, for me, and again, this is just I don't want to get into, there's all kinds, we could go into all kinds of details. If we silence people for saying something that we think is racist, for example, then how do we know who the racists are? You follow me? You don't know who they are if you silence them. Now, and again, there are certain parameters of that, you know, and I may get into here in a little bit. Look, I don't really care much about Whoopi Goldberg. I really don't know much about her. Don't care what's going on with her. But what I do care about is whether or not somebody tells her that she cannot have an opinion that's different from theirs and so forth. So here's the thing. So I think that we as children of God, we need to step back and ask ourselves a question. Why, you know, we have to ask, why is there such a concerted effort to stifle honesty? Again, it doesn't mean it's right, but why is there such a concern? In other words, who benefits the most from blurring the lines between good and evil? Who benefits the most from trying to blur the line? Look, when we try to silence people, that means we cannot tell light from darkness. Who benefits from trying to blur the lines between light and darkness? Even, well, you know, that's the thing. If all you have is light, then there is no light. You follow me? If all you have is good, then there is no good. You know, in fact, here's a shocker for you. If you read your Old Testament, you'll find in the book of Ezekiel, God actually makes a statement that a lot of Christians don't believe until I show it to them. God created evil. You'll read that. Now, why would God create evil? He created evil so that there's also good. You follow me? So trying to silence that. So there's a reason why there is such a movement in the world right now, but it's not a new movement, by the way. There's a reason why there's a movement to try to blend things together and have everybody saying the same thing. Paul describes it this way. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul makes one of his strongest statements, and a lot of people would read it and they say, well, man, that sounds like every arrogant Christian that I know. Okay, fine. Let's just go ahead and be arrogant Christians for a few minutes. Let's look and see what Paul had to say. Here's what he said. He said, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting. Now, that right there, that does sound pretty arrogant, doesn't it? But, you know, my dad always said, it ain't bragging if you can do it. That's what my dad always said. I don't know what that means, but because it still sounds like bragging. But he said, look, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Why? Wherefore means why. He said, why? Is it because I love you not? That's rhetorical. He said, no, God knows. He said, it's not because I don't love you. He said, in fact, he didn't say it here, but I think we all understand. He basically was saying, no, it's because I love you that I'm going to be very bold in telling you the truth. He said, do you want to know why I have to be so bold that it sounds like I'm boasting or bragging about what I believe? Do you want to know why I have to present such a clear, unadulterated picture to you of what I believe the truth is? I'll tell you why. Verse 12. He said, but what I do, that I will do. He said, I'm going to continue to do it, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Let me translate that for you because it sounds like old English and it's a little hard to follow. Here's what he said. He said, I'm going to keep doing what I do because there are people out there who want to pretend like they're just like me. They want to pretend to you. They want to disguise themselves so that they sound like I sound, so that their message sounds like my message. Do you see the point here? He said there are people, he said the enemy would like to make its message sound exactly like God's message. And he said, that's why I have to, he said, so I have to create such a stark contrast. He said, the reason that I'm so bold in what I say is so that you can clearly see the difference between the gospel of Jesus Christ and those that want to simply sound like the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good versus those that want to sound good. He said, there are forces in this world that want to blend that together so much that you can't tell the difference. So that everybody has the same message. Everybody says the same thing. You know, when everybody's required to say the same thing and everybody's required to dress the same way and everybody's required to do all the same things and believe the same things and admit the same thing, that's called a cult. And he said, this is not what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Verse 13. He said, for such are false apostles, as opposed to true apostles, deceitful workers, Now watch, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Do you see that? He said what they want to do is they want to come to you. Look, have you ever had somebody come and knock on your door and say, "Hi there, would you like to do a study about Jesus Christ? Could I come in and talk to you about Jesus Christ?" Who is that? Jehovah's Witnesses. Now look, I'm just going to be straight with you. That's false. Those are false prophets. False prophets. Not you. Are you a Jehovah's Witness? Sorry. Too bad. It's how it is. Look, it's not Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Let me just make that very, very clear. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the one and only begotten Son of God. There never has been another. There never will be another. There is one Son of God. He's the third person of the Trinity. And that, anybody who says anything otherwise, is contrary to Scripture. But my point is, there are many, and it's not just that. There's all kinds of forces in the world that want to call, that want to look like they're espousing goodness. Look, nobody, and I will get into this, nobody gets on TV and says things that are just reprehensible to the public because nobody would follow them. You see, so here's what Paul is saying. Paul's saying they are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, making themselves look like they're telling the gospel of Jesus. Let's continue on, verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Now, that word transformed doesn't mean that they have changed and become ministers of Christ. That word transformed means disguised. Disguised as ministers of Christ. Look, you can be transformed, by the way. In fact, the Bible says we are supposed to be transformed. We're supposed to be transformed from what we used to be into what Jesus wants us to be. But watch, that is not an instant process, by the way. That's a long process. God is not, I haven't said this in a while, God is not a poof kind of a God. Rarely does God pull out a magic wand and just simply change us in some way. It's a slow process. He slowly transforms us into more of what he wants us to be. That's not what this is about. This is about disguising that. So again, we're back to the question, so why is there this effort to get everybody to say the same thing? It's so that we can't tell the difference between right and wrong, good and bad, light and darkness, good and evil. You see? There's a reason. And by the way, that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. This whole concept of trying to blur the lines, trying to blur what it is that God said, that goes all the way back to the serpent. Isn't that what he said? He came to Eve and he said, "Yea, have God said?" He was saying, look, is that really what he said? I mean, I know that's what he said, but is that really what he meant? I mean, I know it kind of sounded like that, but don't you think he might have meant that? This is what the serpent was doing, and this is what's happening today. And so we have this thing in our world that's going on, probably more so. Jesus weighed in on this as well. Jesus gives us, in fact, Jesus always has the final word, by the way. So listen, when you watch what's going on in the world, don't sweat it. Jesus always has the final word, okay? He will have the final word. But he weighed in on this. He gave us a parable, probably one of his most famous parables that he ever told. It's told a lot. It's taught a lot. It's often called the parable of the sower. That's really a bad name for it. It should be the parable of the soil. But he said, he begins this way. Jesus tells this. He said, there was a sower. He went out to sow seed in the fields, and he went out and he sowed some, and some fell on the road, basically, or the wayside right beside the road. Some fell among stones, a stony place. Some fell among thorns, and some fell on good ground. And he tells the story about how that fell by the wayside was taken away by the birds, and that fell in the stony ground couldn't grow, and the thorns choked out the rest of it. And you may know the story. So he finishes the story, and he finishes this explanation this way. He comes to the closing statements of this, and he touches on the key, Luke chapter 8 and verse number 15. Jesus said this. He said, here's the key. But that on the good ground are they which in an, look at the next two words, three words, honest and good report, or heart. An honest and good heart. Having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. He said, if it's going to have its proper effect, if the word of God is going to grow the way it should, there are two things required in your heart. One is goodness, and one is honesty. He said, for it to be effective, it has to be honest and good. You know, do you know that it, something can be, it's possible to have an honest heart, but not a good heart? It's possible to have an honest heart, but not a good heart. Again, I don't like to get into politics, but let me just use this illustration. I think it's easy to see. You know, one of the most honest politicians, and I know that sounds like an oxymoron, one of the most honest politicians that I've ever heard in my life is Senator Bernie Sanders. The man's honest. He came a South Carolina primary away from being from having a showdown between probably the two most honest politicians we've ever met. But he was that close to being the Democratic presidential candidate. But listen, the man is honest. He told everybody right from the start, I am a socialist. He makes it no secret that he despises America's capitalistic heritage. He hates everything about the way this country was founded on a free market and everything, and he doesn't like it. But listen, I find that to be political stupidity, but I totally respect his honesty. Because there wouldn't have been any surprises from him. But every other politician that any of us have ever known, we've always voted for somebody, and then later on we find out, well, that's not exactly what they had said, right? But I mean, he was as honest as could be, and it probably cost him the election. You know why? Because people don't like that. People get scared when somebody is that forthright with what they believe. And so with a politician, they don't vote for him. With other people, they try to cancel them. They try to shut them up, try to shut them down. I mean, there's all kinds of big name pastors around that are trying to be silenced and so forth. And you get the idea. So the point is this, though. Here's the point. If brutal honesty isn't stifled, isn't silenced, then people can make a good choice. People can make a good choice. When honesty is out there, then we can all make a good choice. You know what the real problem is in politics is cowardice. It's cowardice. Imagine this. Look, I'm kind of done tiptoeing around issues too, by the way, just so you know. I'm not gonna fall into the trap that I'm preaching about today. I'm gonna not worry about what I say. Please understand, I'm just going to say the truth as best I know it. If I'm wrong, I will apologize. I will tell you that I'm wrong and I'll apologize. But I'm not going to live my life worried about every word that comes out of my mouth just because it's going on YouTube. I'm just not going to. Because if we're that careful, then we don't speak the truth. You know, you can, again, I got to get back to that. The point was, you could be an honest heart. I appreciate Bernie Sanders' honesty. And I think that's a good thing. But you know, if a candidate came out and said something like this, if a political candidate came out and said, you know, I think it's perfectly okay for a woman to bring a baby to within a few weeks of, or even right up to the point of natural birth, and then induce labor and bring that baby out 3/4 of the way and then kill it. Can you imagine? Even the worst psychopath in America would find that somehow wrong, right? But when you couch it with phrases like partial birth abortion or near-term abortion or a woman's right to choose. Now look, I'm not getting into the abortion thing. I'm just saying when you couch it in those kind of words, suddenly it becomes something that people can vote for. Are you following me? Some of you, you're not liking that, but I'm just saying that is a thing, by the way. You know, and you know what's really, you know what the worst part of that is? I'll tell you what the worst part of that is. There's some scared young girl probably who's being led down that path by somebody who doesn't care, using those kind of words to convince her that it's okay. And that scared young girl makes that decision, then she has to live with that guilt for the rest of her life. Because there was no clear choice. There was no honesty about what really is going to happen in that room. Now, I'm frankly, I'm I'm so tired of having to catch the tears of women who are struggling with the guilt over something like that because they didn't know. That's the wickedness of that. And this is why Paul, this is why Jesus, this is why I'm saying today, honesty needs to be made okay. Be honest. Be honest. So that people can make a good choice. A choice that they're going to have to live with. See, Jesus told us, because here's how Jesus put it, verse number 17, Jesus said, look, they're going to have to deal with this. For nothing is secret that it shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made be known and come abroad. And by the way, let me just take a time out here. Since I brought up the abortion issue, let me tell you what New Hope's stand is on that. We believe that abortion is not something that a young woman should choose. But we absolutely 100% stand behind every young woman who has made that choice. Amen. And we love you. And it's not our place to judge. And I want you to know that Jesus forgives the moment you confess that to him. And you don't have to live with that guilt for the rest of your life. You shouldn't live with that guilt for the rest of your life. God doesn't want you to live with the guilt for the rest of your life. And your sin is no different than the judgmental. Oh, there's no good word that goes there. There's a lot of words that came to mind, but... No, I can't say it, Josh. I can't say it. I have to at least pretend like I'm a pastor. The judgmental person sitting beside you, behind you, pointing their finger at you. I've always said, if you're not willing to bring a young lady into your home and love on her for 9 months and take care of her and pay her medical bills and help her to do whatever it is needs to be done, whether it's adoption or whether to raise that child, then keep your pie hole shut. You can't judge. You can't judge. My sins are no different than your sins, my sins. But the point is, honesty is vital for people to make good decisions. Now, I get that dishonesty will always reign in politics. That's part of the deal. It just will. It just is. But dishonesty is always going to reign in the news media and all. And frankly, it reigns in most education today, most public education. By the way, there are some places where giving one's opinions are not appropriate, and that is in the elementary and junior high and high school classroom. Yes. It doesn't belong there. Spouting off, and I'm glad Hannah's sitting back here. Hannah fought a battle with her school system over a teacher that made all kinds of statements about her opinion about how America's not, never had any Christianity in it and all that kind of stuff, and God's not real and all that. And she won, by the way. And people need to do that. People need to do that. But in general, people should be safe giving their honest opinions. And that means in church too. Do you know it is okay for you to come here and disagree with things that I say? You know, you have the exact same access to God that I have. The Pope doesn't have any more access. In fact, the Pope's got less access to God than most of you, most of us. Okay, and if he ever decides to truly trust Jesus Christ and him alone, then he'll have the same access as we have. But listen, we've all got the same. Here's the deal. I've said this so many times. There is a hierarchy within Jesus' plan for the church. Here's Jesus, and here's the rest of us. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. Everybody has the same access to God. Everybody's viewed the same in God's eyes. There is nobody that has any more or less access. Nobody's any better or worse. Obviously, the way we live can influence our relationship with him. But my point is this. We should all be honest. Do you know if you read through the book of Acts, you'll find there were a lot of disagreements between the apostles. Peter and Paul, they got into a verbal war. But you know what they did? They were both honest, and they talked it out. And they all agreed, and James was a part of that, the half-brother of Jesus, and they had a big meeting about it, and they said, listen, we are all followers of Jesus, but we all are going to have to interpret this thing of what Jesus wants us to do differently, right, or independently. And they got everything that was important right, the same. They agreed on all the things that really matter. Do you know what doesn't matter? What doesn't matter is how we observe the Lord's Supper or how often we observe the Lord's Supper. Right. What doesn't matter is the music we listen to. I ran into somebody who used to come to our church years and years ago, many years ago. And I just asked him how he's doing and all that. And I just asked him, I said, you know, and listen, just a question. Why did you leave? Because you didn't talk to me before you left. Why did you go somewhere else? He said, I didn't like the music. I said, okay, sorry. But, you know, he said, yeah, I didn't like the music. I said, so where are you going? He told me. And I said, well, so are you seeing people saved often? Are you baptizing? You know, are you seeing lives change? People getting victories over addiction? He said, no, not really. He said, it's basically just a coming here. I said, wait a minute. Are you telling me that you left a place where people are constantly coming to the Lord, constantly being saved, being baptized, lives being changed, marriages salvaged, kids, and all that? I said, all those things you saw because of music? He said, well, when you put it like that, so well, that's what you just said. That's what it was. Music. And I reminded him, I said, you know what the pilgrims would think of your hymns? I said, the pilgrims would have thought you were a heretic for having an instrument, for having a piano and an organ and so on. Anyway, the point is they got everything right, but it was okay for them to disagree. It was okay for them to disagree. It is okay for you to come and disagree with things that I say. Amen. You are perfectly entitled to be wrong. It is within your right. You know what? It should be okay for me to be wrong sometimes. And if that ever happens,
we'll point it out.
You should point it out. Listen, you should point it out. You should get yourself one of these deacons and you say, hey, here's what I believe is pastor's wrong about. And if they agree with you, then they can gather the rest of them and call me on the carpet, and then I'll make you all look foolish with the Bible. No, seriously. But you better have something in this book to back up what you say.
That's right.
Rightly divided. But absolutely you call me if I'm right. But it should be okay for me to be wrong. It should be okay for me to get up once in a while and say, you know what? And I've done this before. I've taught some things and then realized later, oh, shoot, that's not right. And I've said I'm sorry so many times in my ministry that it doesn't even hurt anymore. Where was I? No idea. Go back to sleep, Tom. If you're looking for a deacon to ask about, don't talk. Listen. Let me get into this. So honesty needs to be a part of our life. We can't change the world. We're not going to change politics. We're not going to change all that stuff. Dishonesty is always going to reign there. But honesty should be a number, a very, very high priority in God's people. Right. Parents, your children need to know what you really believe. Right. They really do. They need to know crystal clear, this is what you believe. Not in a preachy way. They just need to know where you stand. They need to know what you believe, and they need to know why you believe it. And by the way, if you don't know why you believe it, you need to figure that out. Yeah. And because your parents believe it, it's not a good reason. And because because this is America, it's not a good reason. Because that's what my church believes, that's what my pastor believes, not a good reason. We need to know why we believe what we believe, but your children need to know what you believe in. But this is probably even more important. You need to know what your children believe. You need to know what your children are struggling with. If your children are struggling with, look, if your children are struggling with whether or not God is real, you need to know that. They need to feel very, very safe telling you that. Your home needs to be an atmosphere where honesty can be spoken and parents don't react. Look, 20, 30 years ago within Christianity, it was basically if a child ever came against anything that the church believed, I mean, the parents, you can't believe, you know, call the priest. We got to exorcise this kid. You know, can't be like that. You know, a few years ago, young people, They had questions about sexuality, and they wanted to ask some questions. And most of the Christian parents said, "Yeah, we're not going to talk about that. You just here's the deal. It's this. You know, we're not going to talk about it." And Planned Parenthood stepped up and said, "Hey, we'll talk to you about it." Planned Parenthood stepped up and said, we'll talk to you guys about anything you want to talk about. It's not the kid's fault. It was our fault. It's not Planned Parenthood's fault. They filled a void. Now, I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying they filled a void that we made because we did not want to have honesty within Christianity. It's so important. Parents, you need to know what your children are struggling with. Husbands and wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, there needs to be honesty in those relationships. Need to be able to talk openly, honestly, and know. It's better to know what somebody believes and so forth. You get the idea. Friends and church and so on. Honesty in a college classroom is all but a crime now. But it depends on where you go, of course, but most places and what you believe. Again, canceling history is only producing dishonesty today. Let me find a place to wrap this up. Here's what's happening with young thinkers today. The young leaders on college campuses today are afraid to speak their honest beliefs. And I'll tell you why. Because they're watching Supreme Court justices and politicians and movie stars and all kinds of people who have had things that they said 30 years ago brought up, and they're losing opportunities because of it. And the young leaders of tomorrow are stepping back and saying, well, guess what? I'm not going to say anything today. And so we don't have any idea what they believe or where they stand. This business of dredging up, I've said this before, I've never met a human being in my life that could stand up to the kind of scrutiny. If they knew what you did as a teenager, you wouldn't have any opportunities either. If you knew me as a teenager, you wouldn't want me as your pastor. don't nod your head there. You're never going to know. My mother has Alzheimer's. That was not a very good thing to say, was it? That was... You laughed. You're just as guilty as I am. You laughed. Look, this business of dredging this stuff from the past and making people pay for that today... Again, every single one of us have things that we used to believe that we don't want people now to know that we used to believe it. So we need to stop making it such a crime to be wrong in our past so that we can be honest. Be honest and say, this is where I stand today. This is what I believe today. This is what I think is right today. And as children of God, we need to be good with each other, being that honest. Yes? Oh, I don't want to be around somebody that doesn't believe. Is it really that important? Again, Peter and Paul, they disagreed about a lot of stuff. They worked it out, and so should we. Yeah, that's enough. Here's the thing. Our world is going this way. We get it. Our world is going this way. God told us it was going to go this way. God said there's going to come a day where good's going to be called evil and evil's going to be called good. He said it's going to get to that place where you cannot tell the difference. But child of God, you and I should be able to know the difference. And our churches and our homes and our friendships and our relationships need to be honest. Because having a clear choice is the only way that this world is going to know who they want to follow. If we look just like the rest of the world and we talk just like the rest of the world, if we adopt all the same language and we do all the same things, then there's no choice for the unsaved world to make. Yes? So let's bring honesty back. Because without it, there's no choice. We need to start in our homes and with ourselves. Honesty. Such a lonely word.